you ever seen someone do really well and wonder how on earth they managed it? I found myself asking that very question at times, and now I want to uncover the elements that go into creating success, influence, connection, and most importantly, happiness in people's lives. My friends, welcome to the High Performance Human Podcast.
Welcome one and all to the High Performance Human Podcast. My word, it is great to have you on board with us once again. And I know for a fact that this episode is going to be well worth your time. My guest in this episode is someone who I have admired, respected, revered for a number of years now. Leanne Pilkington is an absolute figurehead in the real estate industry, coming from the front of an office through to becoming literally the leader of an entire industry, everything in between as well. She is a tremendously accomplished businesswoman in her own right. And as well as that, does everything with a degree of grace and aplomb that many of us could learn plenty from. Leanne Pilkington, a wonderful warm welcome to you. Thank you so much for coming on. How are you?
I think I'm going to have you introduce me on everything that I do moving forward. That was awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm doing exceptionally well. Lovely to see you. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
Oh, look, pleasure is all mine, as it always is with all of my guests. I feel so humbled that I get to have some ridiculously incredible people like you come and have a yarn with us and entertain my drawl pommy accent. it really does make me feel a little bit better about myself. Anyway, team, this is a High Performance Human Podcast, which is all about making high performance more accessible to more of you. We all get the whole sort of looking at social media and really sort of look at it and go, how the hell can I climb that mountain? Well, I want to make that mountain a little bit smaller. Ideally, I want to make that summit feel a little bit closer for you, whatever your version of high performance is. And I've got Leanne on today because, as I mentioned, team, she has scaled the mountain right from the very, very bottom of it. And she's more than planted a flag at the very top since then. Leanne, for those people that don't know who you are, and I don't know if there'll be that many, to be honest, because you've been all over the news, media, you have regular spaces.
Been around, yeah.
Oh, your face is one that is well recognized. But for those who don't know who you are, just give us a brief elevator spiel as to the story to date as to what got you here.
Okay, I started working as my father's Saturday girl in his business. He had three real estate businesses in the Hills District in Sydney. So I started working for him as a 12-year-old, answering the phone on a weekend, went full-time with him when I finished high school. I was planning on becoming a school teacher, but I ran out of money at schoolies and rang Dad, and he said, yeah, I'll send you some money, but can you come and work for me while you're waiting to go to uni? And so I stayed working for him until I was in my, I don't know, maybe about 27. So I did everything from, you know, admin to property management, then sales, which was very unusual in those days. I've been in the industry. I started full time in 1981. So I'm giving away my age now, which is fine. But it was a very unusual job for a young girl in those days. And then after I left Dad, I was a recruiter. I worked as a shopping center manager. I did some commercial leasing. I worked in project development. And then I started full-time in 1995 with Lang & Simmons in a corporate role. I was the marketing manager back in the day, and I am now the CEO and one of the owners of Lang & Simmons. And as well as that, I am a trustee on the REI Super Board. I am the president of the Real Estate Institute of Australia, and I was the president in New South Wales for 4 years, longest serving president ever, and president during COVID, as you well know. So that was, I said, hell of a time to be president so many times in those days that someone actually sent me a coffee mug and a T-shirt with hell of a time to be president on it. So, yeah, it was an incredible time. It really was.
Now, just give us a bit of an MO on Lang & Simmons. So just give us an idea as to how many offices, where you're based, sure. Operations-wise. Give us a bit of a rundown of that.
Yeah, so it's a New South Wales-based franchise. We've got 54 offices. Five of them are in regional areas and the rest are Sydney Metro. As I said to you before we started recording, we've got three new offices that want to come on board in the next couple of weeks. So growth has been really positive. So I decided to buy the brand a couple of years ago. It's almost 3 years since we bought the brand, and there are 15 shareholders in the brand, because I was really I was frustrated. I could see that real estate was changing and franchising obviously needed to change with it. And I believe that centralization of services is the way to go, but the previous owners of Lang & Simmons didn't share my view. And in the end, I can't believe I had the guts to actually make this phone call, but in the end, I actually rang the CEO and said, this is not working, and I think you need to go to the board and suggest that you sell Lang & Simmons. And I had no interest in buying it at the time. I just couldn't work. I couldn't see the way forward, and I'm the kind of person that I'm always about what's next. I'm not one to rest on my laurels. It's always about what, you know, okay, last year was awesome, but what can I do this year to make it even more awesome, right? And so I couldn't see the way forward, and that's not a good place for me mentally to be. So I had a couple of meetings with some fairly big brands, and although I liked the people and I liked the culture and all of that sort of stuff, I just didn't feel that. One of the guys was shooting me. You're president of the Real Estate Institute. You should be doing this. REINSW should be doing that. Should. And he didn't give me an opportunity to tell him why I didn't think that was the right way to go. And I just got off the phone and thought, oh, bugger that. I can't work for somebody like that. As much as I like him, I can't be in that environment. And so that's when I spoke to a couple of franchisees. They sort of said, look, we know the business is on the market. We'd like to buy it, but we want you to buy it with us. And that freaked me out. I got really intimidated by that. And I spoke to it was really interesting because I don't talk to people. I don't get advice from people that regularly. But with this, I went to one of my favorite business mentors, and he thought it was a really terrible idea that I bought the brand. And I realized I got quite depressed, and I don't suffer from depression regularly, but I got quite depressed because I had so much faith in him. But I didn't know where to go after I spoke to him. And then I spoke to some of my Real Women in Real Estate tribe. And they're like, are you mad? You would be awesome. This is, you know, you'll be able to achieve all kinds of great things. And so that was when I started to get excited about it. But it was a real lesson to me about the stories you tell yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
About why you can't do something, about why something won't work. And I realized I was scared. I was scared of failure. I was scared of financial failure, you know, and the people that you let in, you know, if I had just left it with that one conversation, I don't know where I'd be now. So ultimately I look back on that and I realize, and he has since apologized to me, because it was his stuff that was impacting his advice to me.
Right.
It wasn't about me and what I could achieve. And he's as proud of me as if I was his own daughter, to be honest. Right. Now he can't believe what we've achieved with the brand. So, yeah, interesting times. That was a very long answer. Sorry.
It was an answer well worth listening to. I'm gonna refer back to it, I think, through the rest of this. Now, high performance, in my opinion, comes down to four elements of your life: success, connection, influence, and most importantly, in my humble opinion, happiness. Now, I've asked everybody that's come onto the show what their definition of high performance human is.
Yep.
I'm really interested to hear what yours is, because you've been
a high-performing human, in my humble opinion, over a long period of time now. Your level of high performance has been really, really well sustained. So what is your definition of a high-performance human?
It's a great question. And I think when you hear the term high performance, I automatically think of the top 1% of real estate agents who are writing the ridiculous numbers that most of us can't even hope to achieve, right? Mm. And so I think the term high performance can be a little bit intimidating because people are just like, oh no, I can't do what they do. And I've suffered from that many times in my career when I've been asked to step up into roles, you know, even recently with the presidency of Australia. It's like, oh no, I don't think I can do that. Mm. So it can be a little bit intimidating, that language. And I really believe that everyone needs to have their own definition of what success means to them, because it's not always about high GCI. And so if success for me is being able to have a dream and have the ability to go and chase it and be open to, we've sort of reframed failure. Mm-hmm. At Lang & Simmons, whenever something goes wrong, and it always goes wrong, I don't care who you are, stuff goes wrong, right? And we always say to each other in the corporate team, let's get curious about how we could have done that differently. And I find that that conversation provides a really high level of psychological safety to my corporate team. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid to say to me, hey, Lee, I've really messed this up, because we don't make a joke of that, but it's just like, let's get curious about that. How can we do that differently next time? And we are always evolving the stuff that we do to make sure that we just do it better each time. And I think that's what high performance is about, right? Being prepared to have a look at what you've done well, what you haven't done well, and just continuing to evolve.
Remaining curious is a tremendous way of looking at high performance. It's something that is often chopped off, shall we say, because, you know, people that reach the top and those that look at the people that reach the top think that, well, that's the top. Well, those at the top, oh, I'm thinking, no, up there's the top.
What's next?
Yeah, up there's the top, right? So it's really, I like that. Remaining curious in your endeavors is a wonderful way to look at high performance. And it's something that anybody that appears to be evolving or growing or whatever, it's only through curiosity, essentially, that it happens. So I love that. I really like that.
And there's a lot of people in leadership positions that will never admit that they're wrong or that they've made a mistake or they don't know what to do. And I find I procrastinate when I don't know what the answer is. And so I'm open with my team about that. It's like, you know what, I can feel myself procrastinating about this decision. That means that I don't know which direction to go. Maybe we need more information. Let's talk about it. A little bit more. But I think it's really important to reframe failure, and because failure is a part of high performance. You're not going to become a high performer without making any mistakes along the way.
There's no high performing hermits. Let's put it that way. There's definitely no high. And it's interesting when it comes to the happiness component of high performance, being able to frame failure in a constructive way is incredibly critical, and understanding that, you know, we are perfect in our imperfections. I'm actually going through this personally, to be honest. You know, my partner, who is of a much higher standard than I thought I was a good human, right?
Right.
And she's showing me a better way again.
Okay.
And it's important
to be open to that, right?
Oh, you've got to be open to it, because otherwise you're only going to ever be at the level that you're at, naive of what could be moving
forward. And people are so afraid, you know, I talk to people about public speaking. I'm not the best public speaker in the world, but I'm okay at it. I've had to get okay at it because I've had to do so much, right? And as soon as someone says to me, "Oh no, never! I'm terrified of public speaking," you can guarantee the next time I do a training session or whatever, I will get them up and I will hold their hand, but I will get them to actually speak, because the only way to increase your comfort zone is to stretch it and to do things that intimidate you. But people that refuse to ever step outside of their comfort zone won't ever be high performers, in my opinion, because you've got to continue to push.
I think you can be as cut and dry as that, to be honest. I think when it comes to this side of things, and I don't think anybody that's even remotely intrigued by higher performance within their lives and whatnot, I don't think that'd even come into their mindset at all, right? So you can very much make it as black and white as that. Let's face it. Now, I want to dig into a couple of things with you because, like I've mentioned, team, Leanne, as you've heard already, she has made it from the very bottom of the mountain right the way to the very top, culminating. I say culminating. She's definitely not finished yet.
Even though I'm old, I'm not finished yet, Andy.
You are absolutely so far from being finished. I can't ever imagine you finishing, to be honest. No. Anyway, as of now, is the current president of the Real Estate Institute of Australia and the CEO of leading growing franchise groups in one of the biggest industry sectors in Australia. So safe to say she scaled a few, right? She scaled a few in a big, big way. Now, for me, I wanted to ask you, when I sent you the brief, I did want to ask you about your definition of success, but I wanted to talk about it from a macro point of view, right? Because you are in a position and you have earned yourself to be in the position of being a president of an industry institute, being the CEO of a 54 franchise group. Success individually and success from a macro perspective when you are basically a leading voice for a greater body. Do you feel that there are any differences between the micro and the macro when it comes to what success looks like? Because success individually is one thing, but I don't know if you can apply your individual success in a macro sense when you've got so many other people that are reliant upon you. So where could the differences lie, if there are any differences?
Well, I mean, success to me is the ability to make choices. So I can make the choice about what I focus on. That is for me what success is, and that's my definition of success, being able to choose the way I spend my time, where I spend my money. And for me, happiness is making progress. So I'm happiest when I'm making progress. Mm-hmm. And people say to me, "I don't know how you juggle everything that you do," because I'm also the chair of a charity called Sister to Sister. And I do it because it makes me happy. I'm making progress. I'm working with incredible people in lots of different, you know, whether it's the institutes, whether it's Lang & Simmons, whether it's the charity. I'm working with great aligned people, and I get to choose the way I get to choose what I do. So I think I'm pretty successful.
I think you're doing all right. How does that apply in a macro sense, though? So, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously, all business owners, one of the, you know, making progress is a success parameter.
And I think, you know, I think it's an interesting conversation because I don't think a lot of people really sit down and think what actually makes them happy. Because a lot of it is like, I'll be happy when, you know, when I get that new car, or when I hit $1 million GCI for a real estate agent, or when I, it's always future focus. But I think that you need to, it's like happiness is part of the journey. It's not a destination.
For sure. Happiness is a present barometer. It's a present KPI.
Yeah.
It's a present KPI, I think. Interesting how you say that people don't sit down and think about what makes them happy. You know what I think is a bigger challenge, though? I think a lot of people, and I'll get your opinion on this, I think a lot of people, they struggle to admit what makes them happy. They know what makes them happy, but through whether it's through society pressure or conformity or some sort
of... Why would somebody not want to admit what makes them happy? Because it's not...
Because
socially media is like it's not acceptable on social media to be happy.
Yeah, or it's not socially.
I'm reading a book.
Exactly, or socially acceptable within the construct of their family, for example, right?
Right.
So, you know, I personally got brought up in a very conformist sort of part of machine type household, which I'm not complaining about. I mean, my parents were coppers. They, you know, live straight edge lives, and I'm grateful for that because I live a straight edge life. But in terms of my own personal, what I deemed happiness, I was more of a progress, growth, adventure, sort of, you know, exploration type thing, exploratory type thing, which is very much not on the conveyor belt of life.
Right.
And those guys and my mum and dad, for all intents and purposes, to my knowledge, were relatively happy being on the conveyor belt of life, running to a steady metronome, right?
Right.
But I, for a long time, which is why I ended up with mental health issues, is because I was scared to admit that that wasn't the path for me.
Okay.
So whether it is through cultural norms as well, so... my partner is another tremendous example. She's Iraqi born, and so therefore, as a female growing up in Iraq, was never allowed to play sport, was never allowed to do any of the things that she wanted to do.
Yeah.
Show any level of ambition beyond the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Essentially. But she's a tremendous soccer player.
Yeah, right.
And I dare say, if she'd have started at the age that she wanted to start at, she probably would have, smoked up a trumpet. She doesn't need that. She's confident enough. She could have been. I've played with her, and I'm like, there's guys that aren't touching her.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what I'm talking about. I think that happiness for a lot of people, ultimately, they know what happiness is to them.
Yeah.
They don't want to admit it. Whether it's women that don't want to admit that being a stay-at-home mum is for them, whether being a mum full stop is for them.
That's a shame, isn't it? People do certainly judge each other on their choices. And I guess for me, I've been in a senior leadership role for a long time now. So my view is going to be coloured by my own experience, and it's not going to be the same for someone who's starting their career because they don't have the ability I have to maybe make those choices or to have the confidence in sort of saying this is me.
Yeah.
I really don't care what people think about me and my decisions anymore. Mm. And that's one of the joys of getting older. I'm happy to have the conversation. I love talking to people that have got different views than me. I really enjoy that, actually. I like my views being challenged, but I don't feel the need to conform. I haven't for a really long time, to be honest.
I want to dig into that point though, Leanne, because you've faced, and you've been quite open about this, the level of adversity that you faced over your journey, right? The generation that you grew up in, tremendously alpha, where irrespective of where you are in the world, that's the way it was, like full stop.
Sure.
Going from a Saturday receptionist and working your way through, going out to different industries, coming back, being in sales back then as a female.
Well, back then they used to say, because the agents, I was very friendly with the agents in the Hills District, so we all knew each other very well. And I knew perfectly well that when I was up against them on a listing presentation, they would say, oh, she's a pretty young thing, but, and it's like, so I went and I studied to become a valuer back when I went straight from my HSC, started working for Dad and started studying at night. And in those days, I was travelling from Baulkham Hills to the city 3 nights a week. Mm. I was working 7 days a week. And the drive from Baulkham Hills to the city, there were no freeways, no tollways in those days. So it was a significant drive. Mm. And I did that for 4 years. So I have always been determined to sort of, you know, I don't know, determined to be able to demonstrate that I am more than just a pretty young thing. And now obviously I'm old, so that can't be said about me anymore. But I just worked hard to change people's perception, I guess, and do things to make myself proud.
Now, on that point, we're segueing into different little conversations tremendously here, Leanne. On that point, some people use that sort of adversity as an energy to drive themselves forward.
Yeah.
Plenty of people, and I've fallen victim to this myself from time to time, end up having it become an anchor around them that makes them quite bitter and twisted about the world.
Yeah.
Right. Have you had moments where you flirted with the negative with that? And if so, if you can sort of tune it back into to when that happened,
sure.
What were the sort of thought processes and emotional processes that you went to in order to keep you on a path that you knew and you felt to the core was pure for you?
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Rita, Real Estate Training Australia. Shane and the team genuinely care for the success of all of their students, not only providing them with the qualifications to enter the industry, but the skills in order to thrive. With 24-hour online support, access to one-on-one training sessions, lifetime access to industry mentors and support, as well as free job-ready training programs for anybody that gets their qualifications through their portal. They're a tremendous outfit, and they want to make sure that everybody that comes into the industry stays in the industry. For more information, make sure you head to their website, www.reta.edu.au.
I talk to myself. I've had a lot of times in my career where I've doubted my ability to do something, imposter syndrome. It's not that I don't feel worthy. It's that there have been times when I haven't felt capable. And the first time happened when as a month into my new career as a recruiter, I'd gotten out of real estate, but real estate and recruitment are quite similar sorts of industries. And I'd been there a month and my manager left and they said to me, we'd like you to manage the branch. And I'm like, are you for real? I've been here for 5 minutes. I cannot do that.
Mm.
And I didn't. And I started by the new manager came in and she was a bloody nightmare. Mm. And so I had to work for someone who I just didn't have a lot of respect for.
Right.
And so that was when I realized I had to be a little bit braver. I had to start saying yes to more things and taking opportunities and trust that I would be able to, you know, learn what I needed to learn along the way. Mm. And that was, you know, when I was promoted to GM at Lang & Simmons many years ago, I was worried that my franchise owners would not be happy that they'd made the decision to put me in that role rather than somebody who I deemed to be more suitable or would achieve more. So I rang every single one of my business owners and said, look, you know, I've just been promoted, blah, blah, blah. And they were all overwhelmingly happy about it. And in the end, I rang a few of them back and said, I know you said you were really happy that I was the one that was taking on the GM role, but can I ask you why? And they all said to me a version of the same thing. We know how much you love Lang & Simmons. We know how much you care about us and we know how much you want our business to be successful. So I learned then that people really want to know how much their leaders care. Sounds logical, right? But It was a really powerful lesson. But whenever, to get back to your original question about how I kind of push through those difficult times, I do talk to myself out loud. And my courage mantra, do you listen to Ben Crowe?
No.
You should. You'd really like what he's got to say. And he talks about a courage mantra. And my courage mantra is as simple as, yes, you can do this. Because when we decided to buy Lang & Simmons, I had to do a lot of work, a lot of admin work, budgeting, ASIC forms, all of that sort of stuff. And I told anybody who would listen how bad I was at all that stuff. And the more I told them, the more I didn't get started. And the more I didn't get started, bearing in mind how I feel about progress, right?
Yeah.
The more I didn't get started, the more anxiety and sleepless nights. And it got really, really bad until one day I literally said, Leanne, get over yourself. You can do this.
Mm.
And I realized I could. And all of a sudden, I made progress. The stuff I was stressing about was done. No more stress, right? Because those things have been done. So I now know myself well enough to know I get excited by pushing myself outside of my comfort zone, but I still get scared.
Mm.
So I just have to go either if I'm terrified before I get on stage, for example, which doesn't happen very often anymore, but still occasionally, I'll just go, this too shall pass. and if I'm procrastinating about something, it's like, yeah, you know what, get on with it. You know you can do this. You can do anything you put your mind to. So
I think one of the key lessons that we can take from that is, if not the key lesson that we can take away from that, is it's becoming a real cliche term, self-awareness. I think it's become so cliched.
But so many people are not, Andy.
Exactly.
People are not self-aware, and it's okay to have weaknesses. Mm. And it's okay, you know, I saw Jason Pellegrino from Domain, you know, an incredible business leader, was on stage talking about some of his challenges about not thinking that he can, you know, exactly what we've just been talking about. And it's like the more you listen to people in senior positions, the more you realize we're all the same. We've all got the same, you know, we've all got challenges, and we've all got stuff that stresses it out, stuff that we don't think we can do. There's nothing wrong with admitting it, because that's the first step to overcoming it.
For sure. I feel that your coping mechanisms or your processing mechanisms, I think they are examples of what a lot of people really need to have a think about that's listening to this. Gang, if you will have regular emotions that are popping up that will be holding you back from doing whatever it is that you want to do or being whatever it is you want to be. Have a listen back to that last little bit that Leanne talks about her coping mechanisms, the mechanics of what she does in order to overcome whatever emotion is holding her back from moving forward and being happy in the progress that she is making. And those coping mechanisms could be anything.
Yeah.
Could be absolutely anything. Anything you want. Like for Leanne, she talks to herself. I'm pretty confident I talk to myself as well at various occasions. But for me, my example is whenever I feel that nervous energy bubbling up within my belly, that is a signal. That is my green light that shit's about to get fun.
Yeah.
And the chemicals, they are exactly the same. Anxiety, anticipation. And that coping mechanism that if you don't have it, once you find out what it is for you, the switch that is flicked that takes that energy from negative
to positive. True. Yeah, so true, right? That that whole, in you know, that fear in the stomach, it's like, I know this is important to me.
Mm. That's exactly.
So that means I have to give it a red hot crack.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. It's the sign that you actually care about what you're trying to do or what you want to do. Yeah. And as Leanne mentioned earlier on, in a number of occasions where she's felt she's just not ready for it or not right for it or whatever the case may be. And that anxiety that she had was a signal for her that that's perhaps what she should go and do. That is perhaps what she needs to go and do.
Yeah, lean into it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So really, I like that. That's really, and Tia, I think that's probably where a lot of you will get value out of this episode. Leanne, before I let you go, because I know how busy you are trying to get three officers on board within like 5 minutes. I want to talk about influence because before the greater part of this conversation, I felt that influence was something that you strive for, whereas now I very much feel that you've just been making progress because it makes you happy, and you've ended up in these positions. Whether you wanted to initially is another question entirely.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about influence for you because you are in tremendously influential positions, right? Whether it is philanthropic, whether it is operational, like business, financial, whether it's institutional, constitutional, in a sense. Explain your interpretation of influence to me and give us your MO on how people that are in those sorts of positions or those sorts of situations, how influence can be better utilized and better treated.
So I've become influential because I'm prepared to do things before I get things. So I will help you, and you know this of me. I will help you without expecting anything in return.
Yeah.
And over time, everybody wants to do something in return. And so I can pick up the phone to pretty much any senior business leader across the country and ask for help. And I can almost be guaranteed that they'll be prepared to help. And it's something that my team, once they realized the impact of that, they encourage me to use it more than I probably would use it myself. But yeah, it's all because I've been prepared to help before I've put my hand out for something in return.
Right. And how can people, like, when it comes to influence, so you're in a position now where a lot of people pay attention to what you have to say.
And so they should, Andy.
And so they bloody well should. Of course, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, it's the whole Spider-Man line: with great power comes great responsibility.
It's true.
And I'm sure that you will know firsthand of people that are in positions of that sort of ilk that don't use that power
for good,
for either good, or they might just even waste it, right?
Yeah.
So what are the things that you feel you do, or what are the actions, or what are the thought processes that you go through that allow you to feel that you are utilizing your influence to the greatest of its ability?
Wow, that's a question. So I think for a start, I'm a good human. You know, I do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I do what I say I'm going to do. They're really simple values, but I live by those values, and not everybody in our industry does, unfortunately. So most people have got a lot of respect for me, and my reputation is something I'm very proud of. But it is because I do the right thing and I do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm happy to help. So I don't know how it. It's been an evolution. Just like my entire career, I've built an incredible career, something I'm really proud of, by saying yes to opportunities when they come and being brave enough to say yes and knowing that I will work it out as I go along. And that's what's happened with Lang & Simmons. That's what happened with REI NSW and now REI Australia and even the charity. saying yes and not being frightened about the opportunity. I don't think anybody feels ready for the things that come their way. I think you've kind of got to grab it when the opportunity's there. But I don't think about my influence very often, to be honest.
You know, it might be part of the trick.
Yeah, maybe. It wasn't part of the plan, that's for sure. I never saw myself here. Never.
Well, that's and a lot of people, you know, again, it's a very popularist sort of terminology to become an influencer and whatnot, right? And
yeah. And
that's why I think understanding what influence is.
Well, yeah, and influence. I mean, I think that people, there's an integrity that you've got to have if you are in a position of influence. And I'm not sure that all of the influencers that we look to have got that integrity.
Mm.
So there's a lot of people that are getting paid to do and say things. That influence our decisions.
Yep.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Have you ever been tempted? Have you ever had anybody waft anything at you in that respect?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm never going to sell something that I'm not or promote something that I don't believe in.
Yeah. And have you ever been tempted though?
No. No.
Team. The simplicity in that last answer is essentially why Leanne is in the position she's in. The end. You can look for the Shakespearean sort of Darwinian answers to half of these things that I ask and whatnot. But one of my favorite quotes of all time is Da Vinci's, "Simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication."
Mm.
The simplicity with which Leanne just answered that very little question with that was the shortest answer she's given whole bloody yet. Right? That just walloped me with an energy that was at the height of sophistication, but with the ultimate level of simplicity. And team, if you are thinking even remotely about having any form of influence over whatever it is, right? And it's weird because I think influence is, like you said, and I think Leanne's a perfect example of this. Influence is a byproduct of doing the right things ideally, but there are influences that have gone there by doing things the wrong way as well. And then, you know, they try and make up for our own shortcomings or whatever it is. They try and, you know, redeem themselves with the higher power or whoever it is. But team, if you didn't feel impacted by the simplicity of that last, I beg you, just go and have another listen to that last question and the little pause that came with a no. And even the tonality with which it was delivered as well. I know I'm getting a little bit geeky now, but that is, in essence, why Leanne is at the very top of her chosen industry, is at the very top of when it comes to that level of respect. You talked about people that respect her. I can't stress to you enough the level at which she is respected in an industry which is stereotypically being male-dominated, being X, Y, and Z. But It essentially shows that it doesn't matter what bits you've got. It doesn't matter where you're from, what your background is, and so on and so forth. Ultimately, if you have a level of integrity, if you have a level of clarity that Leanne has with who she is and what she stands for, that's half the battle won, gang. It's half the battle won. Leanne, I'm so grateful. I always am. Any conversation with you full stop's always one I'm grateful for. But to be able to have you come onto the podcast and share you unequivocally is something that I think a lot of people that are listening to this will absolutely treasure, as will I. I have one last question that I've started finishing episodes off with.
Yeah.
And that final question is as you head on forth and go forth and conquer to a greater extent when it comes to when, you know, and you look to perform as highly as you possibly can. If there was one thing that you feel you needed help with when it comes to performing to a high, to the highest of your abilities or high performance, what do you think is the one thing that you need help with right now? One thing that you feel maybe missing from your performance at this very moment?
I've actually just re-employed a personal trainer. So I used to have, I've always been a really keen gym goer. The last 12 months have been challenging. I've been unwell. I've been traveling. I've been, you name it. I can pull every excuse out. But I, so for me, getting my fitness back to where it needs to be is what I need to have the mental clarity that I need to be doing what I'm doing. Mm. So even though it's only been a couple of short weeks since I've been working out with him, I feel so much better already. So I'm grateful that I've taken the time to do that for myself.
And team, that is an answer that is relatively consistent with the people that I've asked this question about. They high performers are always the first ones to hold their hand up when they know they need help.
Yeah.
And as Leanne just pointed out then, she knew she needed help with the fitness. She needed some accountability because all the reasons are just excuses. They're not, they have no real validity to them in essence.
No.
But the fact that she recognized it, stuck her hand up, went, right, I need accountability on this, and has got a trainer involved to help her with that part that she knows and recognizes she needs in order to be high performing. Again, it's a wonderful answer and a wonderful lesson that we all need to make sure that we take heed of. Leanne, thank you so much for coming on the High Performance Human Podcast. I cannot express my gratitude enough. And team, if you want a shining light of an example as to how integrity looks, feels, and is exuded, then you've got to connect with Leanne in some way, shape, or form, whether it is on socials or carrier pigeon or whatever the case may be. Make sure that you connect with her, because my word, my life is absolutely better off as a result of connecting with this human. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us. All the very best for this year. I know that when this episode gets aired, we'll be a little bit of a ways through the year. And I'm sure that you will have already achieved like 5 million things by then. So more power to you, and all being well, we'll get to have a hug in the not too distant future. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right then, team. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure you would have got plenty of value out of this. If you do need or would like to ask any questions, please feel free to drop us a line either via DM on Instagram, or hit me up on email, andy@andyreid.com.au. You can find Leanne's handles for her social media and whatnot in the show notes that is following alongside this episode. Until next time, gang, stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy, and we'll look forward to seeing you again on the next episode of High Performance Humans. Take care for now.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the High Performance Human. Hopefully, we've given you enough value to justify the time that you've given us, and we've got you that much closer to becoming your version of a high performance human. If you want to have any questions answered, then please feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram @AndyReidCoaching, or alternatively, shoot me an email, andy@andyreid.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Thank you so much for joining us once again, and I really can't wait to hopefully bring you some more value in the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, most importantly, stay happy.